When we look at our modern day leaders, we find that they live very different lives from the people they lead. They have advisors, they have bodyguards, busy schedules that are carefully constructed and monitored. They live in luxurious houses, sometimes multiple houses. Our gospel readings over the past weeks have shown us that Jesus was a very different kind of leader. We heard that he was born in a humble stable. When he was brought to the temple for purification, Mary and Joseph presented two turtle doves, or two pigeons, a modest offering reflecting their humble circumstances. When Herod ordered the killing of the children in Bethlehem, the family fled to Egypt. And as Deacon West told us a couple weeks ago, they probably lived a very transient life there. We know that during his public life, Jesus didn't even have a fixed address. Unlike the leaders that we are accustomed to today, Jesus truly became one of us. Our Creator chose to save us by becoming one of us, by experiencing the human condition, not from 30,000 feet, but right here with us. In the gospel today, we heard the story of the baptism of Jesus. Here's another example of Jesus standing side by side with us, humbly choosing to be baptized by John. Jesus had no need for baptism. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance, and Jesus had no reason for repentance. Jesus' baptism was an act of solidarity. Again, Jesus showed that he was one of us. We actually see two acts of profound humility in that gospel today. We see Jesus beginning his public life by joining with his people in the Jordan. But before Jesus' baptism, John gives us another example of humility. The people were asking whether he, John, was the Messiah. He was a very popular preacher, and many thought that he was the Messiah. But he would have none of it. In Luke's account, we hear John saying, "One who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." See, in those days, it was beneath the dignity even of the Hebrew slaves to untie their master's sandals. So John's statement showed great respect and humility. The Gospel of Matthew, the one that we heard today, shows John's humility, I think, even more clearly. When Jesus approached John for baptism, John said, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" So John, the man that many people thought was the Messiah, happily stepped aside. In another gospel passage, John was talking to one of his disciples who was concerned because Jesus had begun baptizing people. And John said simply, "He must increase, but I must decrease." What a wonderful example of humility for all of us. Those words could be the motto for each of our lives. He must increase, I must decrease. The humility of Jesus was prophesied by Isaiah, as we heard in that first reading today. "He will not cry out or lift his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench." Jesus was not a brash, arrogant, detached leader. He was a humble servant. That doesn't mean he didn't understand who he was. If he had any confusion, it would have been cleared up when God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So when we say that Jesus was humble, it doesn't mean that he lacked understanding of who he was or that he lacked confidence. I think we get confused about humility. We think that people who are humble lack confidence or feel inferior. In fact, humility is a gift. I've told you before about my experience recovering from open heart surgery. During my recovery, especially in those early days, I wasn't able to do many of the things that I had easily done before. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without stopping to catch my breath. For the first time since I was an infant, I was almost totally dependent. But by the grace of God and with the support of the people around me, this became an important and necessary lesson in humility rather than an occasion for anger or frustration. When I accepted my situation, when I understood that I didn't have to be strong or capable, that God was in charge, not me, then my situation became a blessing. All of us face situations in our lives when we are confronted with our limitations. We can confront them with anger, frustration, or self-pity, or we can see them as opportunities to grow in humility. Humility is not something that we accept when nothing else seems to work, when it seems like the world is dumping on us. Humility is a priceless blessing. Now, humility is not the same as humiliation. Humiliation is what the bully tries to do to you in the schoolyard, what an oppressive boss tries to do to you at the workplace, what an abusive spouse tries to do at home, and sometimes even in public. They try to take away your self-esteem, usually to build up their own sense of worth, often because they really don't have much self-confidence themselves. When people try to humiliate us, we can accept humiliation or we can reject it. But either way, that's not humility. Also, sometimes we humiliate ourselves when we act in ways that contradict our dignity as children of God. Humility is different. One of our parishioners said it well many years ago. She told me, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. This is what Jesus' ministry was about, thinking of himself less. Instead, he was focused on doing the will of the Father. In John's Gospel, we hear Jesus say, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am he," that's the confidence, "but that I do nothing on my own," that's the humility, "but I speak these things as the Father instructed me." And later in the same gospel, Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak." There's a lesson here for all of us. I spoke a moment ago about practicing humility when we confront difficult situations in our lives. But it's often more difficult to practice humility when things are going well, when we are capable, strong, accomplished, successful. It is in those situations that we should bear in mind that we are really nothing more than the gifts that God has given us. This is true humility. We shouldn't deny that we have gifts, but if we start taking sole credit for the many blessings we've received, then humility is gone. All that's left is pride and arrogance. How many of our supposed heroes, the entertainers, the athletes, the wealthy business people, the politicians, have forgotten this? Perhaps that's why we see so many of them in and out of courthouses, in and out of rehab centers. If we see all of the good things about ourselves and about our lives as gifts from God, then we do understand that we are nothing more than the gifts God has given us. And we are nothing less, unless we choose to be. A little more than 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus into the human condition in humble circumstances. Last week, Father Joselito talked to us about the visit of the Magi, who found the baby Jesus in modest surroundings, and yet they acknowledged his kingship with gold, his priesthood with a gift of incense. Today, at the start of his public ministry, Jesus again acts in humility, being baptized by John, doing the will of his Father. Can we do anything less?
Let us profess our faith.